This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
A pet swan named Pooh. Yeah.
Now, that's remarkable.
Get out of here.
Wait, a chicken has an earlobe?
The color of the earlobe?
Well, how else are they going to wear earrings?
That's why, you know, you never saw Dick Clark and Fidel Castro at the same time either. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday right here on American Family Radio. And I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano to my left here. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. Yes, I'm to the left of you.
We won't go
no
over
one's the, to the we, right. We no won't. One's to the right of you.
Joker is.
Joker's to the right of you?
Yeah.
Or clowns to the left?
Something like that.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am stuck.
I tell you, you're stuck in the middle between JJ and me.
That's right.
JJ Jasper. Good morning, JJ.
Good morning. Good to be here.
How are you doing today?
I'm blessed.
So it's Trivia Friday, a.k.a.
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. And here's what we're going to do. We're here every Friday, and we're going to play trivia. We spend Monday through Thursday talking about how the world's going to end. And then Friday we act like it's not. So that's our purpose. That's our mission statement here. I don't know. That just sounded smart right there. What I just
it did
said.
Sound smart. But we tell people, you want to get smarter?
Yeah.
Listen to this here show.
Yeah. Or betterer.
Or betterer. Or
you've added a couple words.
I have awesomer. What else have I?
How do you spell awesomer, JJ?
With an A.
Yeah.
Hey. Speaking of which, this guy I might have already mentioned this. This guy. But sad, his friend collapsed. He called 911, and they said, "Where are you?" He said, "We're on Eucalyptus Street." And the 911 operator said, "Spell that." There was a long pause, and he said, "I'm going to call you right back. I'm going to drag him over to Elm Street."
Okay, didn't you tell that same joke last Friday?
I might have told you in your office.
Okay. I've heard it. So, yeah,
Brent said it was here.
Oh, it was
on
right here.
Show.
Hey, that's going to be a bad sign.
Got to give Professor JJ a break.
I'm going to be walking into the room wondering why I went in there for.
All right, Trivia Friday it is. We're going to ask three trivia questions each, and then we're going to pitch it to you, our listeners, and let you call in and answer one of them, and ask us a trivia question. So if you want to answer and ask, here's your number to call, 888-589-8840. Here's your phone number to be on the air with us, 888-589-8840. Now, please don't call if you've been on the air with us in the last 4 weeks. There'll be one month waiting period between calls that we accept to be on the air with us. So please obey that ground rule. Now, somebody will call in and answer a question correctly, and we will hear this sound. Yes, the beloved cowbell will ring, and we'll all celebrate because that individual has won a Trivia Friday t-shirt.
Yes.
Right?
And for those watching on Facebook Live,
we're now holding them up.
We're holding them up.
If you're watching our show on Facebook, today's issues on Facebook, you'll see now that we're holding up the Trivia Friday t-shirts, which somebody will win one today. And also, you can call and order yours. And go online and order yours if you want to. They're $15, right?
Yeah, you go to afastore.net. You can order one of your own. You can order multiple T-shirts for every family member, for everyone in your neighborhood. We have made the mention of the fact that these are bulletproof. They're indestructible. They're fireproof. You can run over them with a tractor, and they will not break. $15. How do you beat that?
You can't beat that. $15 for an indestructible, undestructible T-shirt.
Now, let me ask you, you talked about the beloved cowbell. Mississippi State's baseball team plays. They're playing in the College World Series.
JJ and I, we're donning our school colors today.
Do they, at baseball games, do they do the cowbell?
I don't think they'll let them in.
With the cowbells?
With the cowbell. They might. I don't think so, though. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not at the College World Series in Omaha. So maybe somebody can tell us on Facebook.
Yeah.
But now, we recognize we have supporters and listeners from all over the country.
Yes, we do.
We have a lot of Razorback fans, and they're still in the finals.
They're still in there. Close game last night between Texas Tech and
Florida Gators.
Florida, yeah.
A lot of Florida fans.
That was a close
and Oregon
game
State.
Last night.
Oregon State is still in. So
you got Baker City listeners.
But Mississippi State still in the College World Series. And
kind of a Cinderella story.
You don't read this in the Bible, but I'm sensing the Lord is on our side in this thing. And
no.
I'm sensing. It's not thus saith the Lord. I'm just sensing that we are a team of destiny.
Hey, I will say they weren't even supposed to make it to the finals. Then they clawed their way through the loser's bracket.
Right.
And lo and behold, the Bulldogs are at the
World Series. One game away from going to the finals, but we'll see what happens. All right, so here, let's give our questions. Did I say everything? Lay everything out there. All right, go ahead.
Everything. All right. Here are my three questions. Now, you guys, you've all heard the expression. There's a good vibe in this place. So here's my question.
That's a worship song.
Is it?
No, there's a sweet, sweet spirit.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That sense of sweet vibe in this place. All right. So. From what word does the word vibe come from? This is kind of an easy question. You should get it, but you may be thinking.
That's a Beach Boys song.
Yeah, good vibes.
Hmm.
Okay.
No,
yeah, thanks. You just gave it away. But that's all right. Most of our students weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
So, all right, second question. And I hinted at this last week, so if you were paying attention, you look this up. Which actor played both Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett on television?
Mm-hmm.
Which actor played both Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett on television? Third question, on the Apollo 11 mission, what was the name of the place on the moon at which the first human being set foot? There's a place on the moon, it has a name, where they sat down and human beings touched the moon.
Can you GPS that?
I'm sure Google Moon has it. You can just look up, go to Google Moon.
All right, I'll do that.
Don't do Google Earth because the moon is not on the Earth. So
right.
Go to Google Moon, and then you'll be able to see it.
Okay. What you got, Professor Jasper?
Here's what I've got. First question, Lake Mead is a U.S. reservoir created by what dam? Lake Mead is a U.S. reservoir created by what dam? Second question, Jubilee, Moon and Stars, and Crimson Sweet are varieties of what popular produce? Jubilee, Moon and Stars, and Crimson Sweet are varieties of what popular produce?
That's from Lucky Charms, isn't it? Moon and Stars, magically delicious.
And then here's my third question. It's true or false? The pupil in the eye of an octopus is rectangular. Is that true or false? The pupil in the eye of an octopus is rectangular. True or false?
I have an octopus. That sounds like a movie. Like
well, that was from Rocky.
One
Rocky
of those James
Six,
Bond
wasn't
movies, wasn't it?
The Eye of the Octopus.
I thought it was a James Bond movie.
It's the Eye of the Octopus.
No,
wasn't it?
I think that was
Eye of the Tiger. Maybe.
All right. Here are my three questions. Number one, what do we call the white solid hog fat used as a lubricant in cooking?
Delicious. That's what we call it. Delicious.
Question number two. What is the most popular? I tell you what, I'm going to ask this question. What are the four most popular vegetables in America?
Oh,
that's a good question.
What are the four most eaten vegetables in our country? And number three, after Mandarin Chinese, what are the world's three most commonly spoken languages? Because there are so many Chinese people who speak Mandarin, they are the number one language spoken in the world. Well, after that, what are the top three languages spoken around the globe? That's
good.
My question.
Hey, you were talking about kind of a food thing earlier. I thought about you last night when we were watching the College World Series. And, you know, in between, the announcers have to have a little chatter if they're changing pitchers or something. And the one ESPN guy said, well, I got the best Father's Day present ever. And the guy said, what? He said, my kids gave me bacon for life. And so they were like, what? So then they wanted to come back to it. They said, hey, what are the conditions for that? He said, life. As long as I'm living, I get bacon.
They
said, bacon for life.
They said, is that like a... Is that like the, whatever the Jelly of the Month Club. Yeah. And he said, well, I don't have all the details, but he said, yeah, he said, as long as I'm living, they said, you're going to put them out of business, you know.
Bacon for life.
All right, let's get started.
That is a guy's dream. So, all right, so we're going to go first to Iowa, and Dave, talking about bacon, Dave is on the line from Iowa. Dave, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, this is a pleasure of calling in. I've tried to get in so many times, and I never could, so this is great.
Well, and by the way, congratulations, and thank you for your perseverance, because we do hear from folks that that try for a long time. And really, Dave, if you work hard at anything, sooner or later you're bound to find success. So
that's not true.
You want to ask, answer, or do both, Dave?
Both.
All right. Which question would you like to try to answer?
Let's see. I think I'll go for the actor that played both Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett.
All right. So which actor played both Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett on television, Dave?
Fess Parker
is correct.
Nicely done. Way to start us off.
Hey, J.J. Jasper's daddy knew Fess Parker personally, didn't he?
He was in a movie with him. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, Davy Crockett. I've got a picture of both of them in my office.
Yeah.
And the Warner Brothers pay stub that he got.
Could your dad not get Fess Parker to help him catch his Hollywood break?
I guess not. He was an extra in a movie.
Okay.
Yeah. All he right. said he was a really nice guy.
Yeah, Fess Parker, you mean?
Right.
All right, do you have a question for us, Dave?
Well, really, two. One, I just wanted to know, which one of you is does that? All that?
J.J.? J.J.? J.J.?
That's me, Dave.
Alter ego. Oh,
you work on enough construction sites or you work on enough farms and everybody's been around. Yeah, you know that guy.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal.
Hey, all right, Dave. Thanks brother. Dave. Appreciate it. All right, who's next? Where do we go next?
Wait a minute. I have a question.
He has a question.
Oh, my. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. Okay. My question to you is: name four of the cities that make up the Quad Cities.
The Quad Cities in Iowa, right?
Up there, yeah.
Okay, you got Moline. Is that right? Or East Moline?
Yeah.
Is that not even one of them?
Yep, Moline.
Moline is one. Moline. Okay, JJ, you've been
right,
up
there. Dave, we're going to talk amongst ourselves, so don't say yes or no.
Is it Dubuque? JJ, Dubuque, Iowa?
I'm drawing a blank. Burlington
is it? Anyway, there's a Quad Cities. One of them's in Illinois, isn't it? I've crossed a bridge up there.
I have as well.
Quincy. I've been to Quincy and spoke across. And we don't know.
Yeah,
Dave, tell
Duke
us. Tell us.
Year.
Tell us.
I think you got us, Dave.
He stumped us, buddy.
All right. On the Iowa side, Davenport. And Bettendorf. Mm-hmm. And on the Illinois side is Rock Island, Moline, East Moline, Silvis, and then further south is Milan.
How do y'all define a quad up there, Dave?
Quad?
How do you define quad up there in Iowa?
Because that sounds like more than four.
Well, it's originally the four.
Oh, and it's just
Rock,
grown.
Moline, Davenport, and Bettendorf. Okay. But there's other smaller cities just adjoined to each other.
Yeah.
Right by each other.
Okay. All right.
Hey, thank you, Dave.
Thanks for that bit of history. Where's Dubuque?
It's good.
From you?
Dubuque?
Yeah.
About 60, 70 miles up north.
All right.
I was there last year for the first time. Really nice people.
Dubuque?
Yes.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Now, the Quad Cities in Alabama... very popular. You got Muscle Shoals, Sheffield, Florence, and one other where Helen Keller was born and raised.
I don't know. You're looking at me like I should know
that. The other
one,
it'll come to me.
By the way, I did mention the fact, speaking of bacon, Iowa, Dave from Iowa. I just want to explain, because I've just gotten a text saying, what is that going to do with it? Iowa produces more bacon than any other state in the union. They grow all those bacon trees, and that is harvested for miles. So Iowa produces more bacon. I'm totally making that up, but I'm pretty sure that we have Iowa to thank for a lot of that bacon. I also want to have a shout-out.
Sheffield and Tuscumbia.
Tuscumbia was the one I was missing.
Go ahead.
I want to shout-out to my two grandchildren who are traveling with their parents to Dallas. As we speak, they're listening to us.
Are they really?
Wonderful.
So I want to say hi to Stella and Whitson, who are listening to their papa.
Wave at them on the radio.
Yeah, I'm waving.
And there I like how Stella was named after your mom.
That's right.
What an honor.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, so I just, now that that's shameless plug for my famous treat.
You might want to, I don't know what the new term is, but that's 90s about.
What, shout out?
Yeah. Shout out.
Well, I'm thrilled to be that most, that up
that modern. All right, who's next?
All right, we go to Texas, and John is on the line. John, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning, fellas, from Cut and Shoot again.
Oh, I love the name of your town.
All right, Cut and Shoot again.
You want to ask, answer, or do both, John?
Oh, do both.
All right, which question you want to answer?
Apollo question.
All right, on the Apollo 11 mission, what was the name of the place on the moon upon which the first human beings set foot?
I think it was the Sea of Tranquility.
It was the Sea of Tranquility. Very good.
Sea of Tranquility. Who came up with that name? Do you have any idea where that came from?
I think just NASA just, you know, plotted everything on a grid and gave names. I don't know how they came up with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I could try making something up.
Well, if you would, I'd appreciate it.
It was very big, so it looked like a dried up sea. I think it's actually a crater.
Right.
But
it was
looked
quiet.
Very
it was quiet.
That's right.
Tranquility, quiet.
It was
nice,
a very
peaceful.
Quiet place. Yeah. So they said that looks very tranquil. It's called the Sea of Tranquility. Yeah.
There you
Although,
go.
I just made that up.
The guy that tried to open a restaurant at the Sea of Tranquility, it failed miserably. And
yes.
They said the food was delicious, the prices were good, but there was just no atmosphere. You got to have a combination of all of it, John, if you want to succeed in business.
Well, they always say also location, location, That's, location.
Well, you're thinking
and putting it on the moon is just not a good idea.
You're thinking real estate, not restaurants.
All right, John, what's your question for us? Good job on that, by the way.
Okay, I hope I get this, say it right. It involves the Medal of Honor, okay? Have there been, and if there have been, any father and son recipients, how many have there been, and can you name who they are?
All right, well.
You know, just the fact that he worded it like that,
yeah.
I'm saying there is
there are a
father and son combo, yeah. But I wouldn't know who.
Or how many.
Yeah.
I have no.
But there's not many.
Yeah. That's an excellent question. We're going to say, to answer the first part of your question, yes, there have been at least one father and son recipients. But as to the other parts of your question, you got us. What's the answer?
Okay, there actually have been two. And the first one to win a Medal of Honor was Lieutenant Arthur MacArthur, and he retired as a lieutenant general. And his son, Douglas MacArthur.
Oh, wow. You're talking about the famous general?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Douglas MacArthur. And then his father and, you know, his father was named Arthur. And so Arthur MacArthur Jr., actually. And so then also Theodore Roosevelt. And Theodore Roosevelt Jr. and Theodore Roosevelt III.
Wow.
And Theodore Roosevelt Jr. was awarded the Medal of Honor in 2001 by Bill Clinton for his charge up the San Juan Hill.
Okay.
And then, but the third, Theodore Roosevelt III, he was actually a brigadier general, and he led a charge. He was in the first wave at Normandy, and he was on the ground, and the word was that he said he pulled out. He only had a 45. He didn't carry a rifle, from what I've read, but he pulled out his pistol, and he said, "You can either die on the beach, or you can follow me and die." And the men charged up the hill, and they actually took their objective. And due to that, you know, he was given the medal. But 30 days later, when he was advancing with his troops in France, he died of a heart attack.
That's a lot of good trivia.
Sure is. Yeah. Wow. Hey, listen, John, thank you so much for that history lesson. And we always do honor those who have fought for our freedom and for the freedom of others.
And here's the deal. I don't want to take anything away from General MacArthur being a hero, but I do want to take issue with his mama, who named the boy Arthur MacArthur. Now, maybe he was toughened up on the playground with all them kids making fun of him being named Arthur MacArthur.
But if he wasn't tough enough when he started, he was tough enough when he was finished. All right. Thank you, John, and thank you. We still need a name for that curmudgeon, so.
I named him one time, but I forgot.
Earl.
Hey, by the way, let me just say this real quickly, because we've got some heavy clouds heading, rain clouds, thunderstorms heading our way here.
Right.
In Tupelo. And so sometimes our signal is blocked going up to satellite and coming down in the 184 stations around the country. So if folks experience some silence on the radio, it may be because we're having what's called rain fade. Just wanted to warn you about that. You can get us on the internet at watch our show on Facebook. You can Today's Issues or YouTube, or listen on the internet at afr.net, right, or download the app.
Yes.
Download the app for your phone or your iPad or similar device and listen on the internet.
So you can still continue to hear this show, even if your terrestrial radio station.
Or on the CB, channel 77, if you want to hear us on the
77,
CB.
Breaker?
No, I don't know. I just threw that out.
I don't think so. CB's had, I think they ran out about 25 or
25?
So.
25?
Yeah. Breaker, popular.
What was your daddy's handle?
They ran out 40. Of 40.
What was your dad's?
My dad's handle in the 70s was Circuit Rider.
Circuit Rider.
Circuit Rider, like the old Methodist preacher.
Yeah. My dad was a Methodist preacher. In the 70s,
that's cool.
He had a CB, and his name was Circuit Rider.
I like that.
You know what mine was? Because he and I both had used a CB. Mine was Long John Silver.
Long John Silver?
Yeah, you know where I got mine from? Yeah, I saw a restaurant sign. I need a handle. We're driving down. I'm serious. We're driving down the highway, and Dad says, "You need a handle."
Well, mine was 31 flavors.
That's what Miss MacArthur was thinking when she named him Arthur.
We'll be back momentarily.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
One of my favorite things to do in Israel is take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be taking our annual tour of Israel in March of 2019, but it's time to sign up. We have a lot of folks sign up early, and last year, in fact, we filled up several months in advance. So for all the information on this trip to Israel, a bucket list trip for most people, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure, call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your phone number. We'll be flying direct from the States to Tel Aviv and then begin our tour in Jerusalem of Israel. We hope you can join us in 2019.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. There's a Veterans Park in downtown Ogunquit, Maine. Three flags fly over the entrance, an American flag, a POW/MIA flag, and a flag representing the great state of Maine. But the other day, city leaders raised another flag at the park, a rainbow flag, and local veterans are not very happy. Town leaders say they posted the rainbow flag in honor of Gay Pride Month. They wanted to make LGBT residents and visitors feel welcome, and they want to recognize the accomplishments of the gay community. But the commander of the local American Legion post says it's disrespectful. John Mixon told local reporters it has nothing to do with being anti-gay. He says the three original flags posted in the park represent all veterans, black, white, gay, straight, and of course Old Glory represents all of us, one nation, under God. Those veterans fought and died for the red, white, and blue, not a rainbow. I'm Todd Starnes.
Wrote the lyrics to that song.
Poetic genius.
The time, thought, inspiration that went into that was.
Oh, what should we have next? We have Batman.
All right.
How about Batman again?
Yes.
If it's good once, it's good
yeah,
twice.
It's good twice. It's like using the word baby in a 70s
baby.
Love song, right?
That's right.
Funny stuff.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. On Fridays, we have what we call Trivia Friday, and we also call this
Learning University.
And Learning University is on the air. Learning University. You don't need a G at the end of learning. It's Learning University. Now, if you want to call in and ask a question and answer a question of our trivia, here's the phone number, 888-589-8840. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. You can watch this here show live video streaming at Facebook, just Today's Issues Facebook, or YouTube, Today's Issues. Now, Professor J.J. Jasper, who hails from Owensboro, Kentucky, we referenced his dad being in a movie with the aforementioned Fess Parker. J.J. has brought a picture to prove this.
Yeah, Davy Crockett.
To the doubters.
Davy Crockett and my dad, I'll go over there and hold it up to the camera. And it's got the
Warner
Brothers.
Yeah, bring it over so people can people not see you on Facebook?
I don't. Can they see if I hold it up right here? Here you go.
So tell us what that is exactly. It's a picture from what year?
He was an extra in a movie.
Your dad was.
Yeah, 1955, and it's got his withholding tax.
I think that's Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett. It was Davy Crockett and the River Pirates, the name of the movie, filmed on the Ohio River.
In Owensboro?
No, just upriver from Owensboro. Walt Disney Productions, he made $60 for a week.
Your dad did.
Yeah, back in 1955.
That's probably good money back then.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of money back then.
So he was hanging out with Fess Parker.
Yeah,
said Fess Parker was a nice guy?
Yeah, he said he was a really nice guy. So, you know, with all the extras and all, he probably couldn't take time to take a picture with everybody.
Yeah, cool. All right, today's issues on American Family Radio Trivia Friday. Let's repeat our questions and let's take some phone calls.
All right, we've all heard the word vibe. I feel a good vibe. Mm-hmm. From what word does the word vibe come from? All right, I've got to add a couple of questions. I'm going to throw in, we've been talking about Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett, so I'm going to throw a follow-up question in. Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett were contemporaries. In other words, they lived at the same time. Is that true or false? And then third question, how many nations are represented in the United Nations? How many nations are represented in the United Nations? And I'll give you a guess within five. So
good. Good question. Here's what I've got. Lake Mead is a U.S. reservoir created by what dam? Lake Mead is a U.S. reservoir created by what dam? Second question, Jubilee, Moon and Stars, and Crimson Sweet are varieties of what popular produce? This garden favorite. Jubilee, Moon and Stars, and Crimson Sweet are varieties of what popular
Crimson
produce?
Crimson and Clover, is that a...
no, that was something different.
Over and over? Oh,
okay. And here's my true or false question, my third question. The pupil in the eye of an octopus is rectangular. Is that true or false?
All right, my three questions. After Mandarin or Chinese, that's the language most people in Chinese use. What are the world's three most commonly spoken languages after Mandarin? Number two.
I know Pig Latin is one.
Pig Latin.
If that helps people.
Well, I guess
one,
probably Southern.
You just gave one away. Well, there you go. Southern. Give them two away. What do we call the white solid hog fat used as a lubricant in cooking? What do we call that?
WD-40.
Number three. What are the most popular four vegetables in the U.S. by consumption? The most popular four vegetables in the U.S. by consumption. There we go. There are mine. Back to the phone.
All right. Back to the phones. We go, by the way, the phone number to call if you want to get on this here show is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We go back to the phones. We go to North Carolina. I'm guessing to our old friend Todd from Seagrove. Todd, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning to the university.
And welcome back. Todd frequently takes courses here with us.
Yes.
And
working on his PhD.
Working on his PhD. Must be. So, Todd, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I would like to do both.
All right. Which question do you want to try to answer?
I'm going to take a shot at Tim's language question.
Okay. Let me re-ask it, and then you can answer it. After Mandarin, which is in China, what are the world's three most commonly spoken languages, Todd?
I'm guessing English, French, and Spanish.
You got two of the three right, English and Spanish. There is another language that...
I've got to say, I would have guessed what
French.
Todd guessed.
English and Spanish are two of the three. He did get that right, but there's another one. It's not French.
I tried to give it to you. Pig Latin, brother. Pig Latin.
But anyway, go ahead and ask your question, Todd.
Okay. Well, I'm going to an Old Testament question here, and this is coming from
I'm surprised, Todd. You're going to the Old Testament for your question.
Well, you know, I like to shock people from time to time and show off my above-average intelligence. You know, but now, like I say, I have an Old Testament question coming from the King James Version of the Bible. It's coming from the book of Joshua, chapter 22. It's coming from verse 34. After Israel conquers Canaan, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh return to their possession in Gilead, which is on the other side of the Jordan River. On the way back, they build an altar as a witness that the Lord is God. Okay, my question is, what did they name that altar?
I remember the story.
They named it Ed.
Yeah.
Like Gad?
Yeah. Ed. Well, they named it Ed, and it means witness, I think. Doesn't it mean witness?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
But it does. It says, actually says Ed in the King James version.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. You're not kidding, are you, Todd?
No, I'm not kidding at all. Because that's why I stress the King James version,
right.
Because the other versions... don't use the word Ed. They just put witness in there. But I just want to
good
do
job,
that.
Ed.
Hey, good question. Hey, that's clever, Todd.
Yeah,
good
it
question.
Is clever. And I'll tell you, the reason a lot of these other translations don't put Ed in there is just simple anti-Ed bigotry.
Oh, yeah.
All right? So
I
that's
agree.
That is
I'm
all there is to it.
It's often subtle.
Yes.
Todd, a great story there where they said, look, we want to have our land on this side of the Jordan instead of over there. you know, for pasture. And they said, okay, if you promise to fight, now when it comes time to fight, if you guys don't, the deal's off. And that whole story there was good. And then when they came back, and then they actually got in some big trouble over erecting that.
Right.
The elders came after them and didn't understand their motives. And there was a little bit of a brouhaha. I think that's a King James word.
Brouhaha. That's happened in a lot of churches.
Yes.
What you just described.
But brouhaha.
Elders come after
some folks not understanding their motives. Right. Yeah, right. Good. I mean, they came after them.
Well, they thought they had erected it to false gods.
Yeah, they were ready to do
it. How'd they apologize for that one?
Well, they said, we're not. We're just saying that if we don't put an altar over here, our kids won't know that we're supposed to be worshiping Yahweh as well.
Exactly. Todd, you always challenge us. Thanks for being such a student of the Bible. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Y'all have a great weekend, and I look back and come back in 35 more days.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
That's right, Todd. All right. We love Todd. Have any of you guys ever met Todd?
I've not met him personally.
At a gathering?
I'd like to know what his last name is so I can stalk him on Facebook and learn some stuff. I want to be more like him. I'm serious.
Well, you always just have challenging questions from the Bible. So, all right, we go to Kansas. Mary is on the line. Mary, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Oh, thank you. Y'all have given out so much learning that I almost forgot everything from the beginning.
We do tend to overwhelm people with our intelligence.
Mary, that happens
to me. Our intelligence is oppressive.
That happens to me when I go to the store for my wife and when I go into the kitchen late night. And then I say, now what did I come in here for?
Happens to all of us increasingly. Mary, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I was going to try to answer and then ask y'all a question, but the question was about what we cooked with you on a hog.
That's Tim.
Shall I ask it and you answer it?
Yeah.
Mary, here's the question. What do we call the white solid hog fat used as a lubricant in cooking?
Lard.
Nicely done.
Lard.
Wow. Now, so that's what, okay, so, because I was thinking like fat back or something, but lubricant, that gives, that kind of makes it clear that you're talking about
lard.
So you don't burn stuff in the pan.
Lard.
What'd you say, Mary?
I said my mom cooked everything in lard, and I, you know, when we were growing up, I'm from Arkansas, so my question, that when I was growing up, there was a nickname for a trunk of a car that we always called it, and after I got married and I took my husband back to Arkansas, my mother told him to go out and get something out of the trunk of the car, but she's called it by a different name that we was raised, and I was wondering if you knew the nickname. Okay. The
trunk of a car was had a nickname in some regions of the country back in the day in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. In Arkansas, where you're from originally, and what was the nickname of that? That's your question. Let us talk amongst ourselves.
Now, over in England, the hood of the car is called a bonnet. So I don't know if maybe somebody misunderstood and called it a bonnet. You know, in that part of the country, but the trunk, what's the trunk going to be called?
Ah, man, I don't know. I just always have just always called it the trunk.
Trunk, yeah, I don't know. Most cars don't even have trunks anymore.
Now, I know a lot of mobsters called it a coffin, because that's where, you know, a lot of times they threw dead
bodies. Are you serious, or are you just throwing that
in? I'm just making that up.
We don't know, Mary. What's the answer?
I think you got us, Mary. What's it called?
Turtle hull.
The turtle hull.
Turtle hull.
Huh.
My life, I called it a turtle hull, and that's what we were told in that part of the ark, and that's what we was raised.
So if you're...
So the first time I told my husband to go out and get something out of the turtle hull, he just backed up and looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, well, that must have been something one of your grandpappy or somebody came up with, and it stuck, because I've never heard
that
either.
It reminds me, in Texas, maybe other places, but I know in Texas, they don't call it... They call a pond a tank.
A tank?
In some parts of Texas anyway, huh?
Yeah. I'm sure there's... Well, I mean, when I was growing up in New Hampshire, you know, a water fountain at school? We called it a bubbler.
We
called it a bubbler.
I went out to see David Barton, a good friend of mine, and went out to his ranch out in like 100 miles west of
Tyler?
Fort Worth. Oh, okay. It's way out where you hide from the government. Anyway, if, you know, if they're looking for you, they never find you out there. But he was like, my cattle are down there by the tank. And I go, what tank? I don't see a tank down there. I see a pond? No, it's a tank. So I had to learn to talk like them when I was out there. But anyway,
I bet
Mary,
you saw some turtle holes.
A turtle hole was the name of a trunk on a car in Arkansas in back in the day. Okay. Maybe still today, right, Mary?
I don't say it anymore. I'm okay. In my 50s, so I finally quit saying it. But gotcha. We were raised that way.
Now, Mary, do you say glove box or glove compartment? Or what do you say about the box up there on the dash? What do you call that?
I usually say glove box.
Yeah,
glove box. Italians used to call it a gun safe. I don't know why I'm stuck.
You're
on
telling your own ethnic jokes.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary.
Give me the map out of the gun safe.
Yeah. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Mary.
Out of the gun safe. Oh my word.
Glove compartment's what I always call that thing.
Is
that
we call it a glove compartment, and I think my wife calls it glove box.
Yeah, I've heard that's what I've heard both of them.
Yeah. So we continue?
I think so.
All right. I like that. The
syrup,
Tennessee.
Syrup or syrup?
Syrup.
Syrup.
All right. Let's go to the phones.
All right. Jonathan is on the line. Jonathan, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Well, I was going to do both, but she answered the lard question.
All right.
The lard. Hey, by the way, lard is different from fatback, right, Jonathan?
Yes.
Fatback is actual pieces, isn't it?
In my house, it come in a 5-gallon can, and it was white, and you just dipped it out a spoonful at a time.
There you go. Right. Crisco.
Cook it with anything, fried chicken, whatever you want to cook with it.
Right. And it was healthy, wasn't it? Didn't they prove that?
I'm still breathing.
Yeah.
Hey, look, they change all that.
I'm still breathing, so it worked anyway.
Yeah, they'll say lay a baby on their belly. Now, no, lay them on their back. Cholesterol is bad. No, cholesterol is good. So
eggs are bad. Eggs
are good.
If
you just wait a few years, they'll come back to saying lard's good for you.
In fact, in some parts of the country, doctors are prescribing lard. So when you go in for your checkup, they say, I think you need here is a prescription. You need to get some Crisco into your diet.
It's more thing in the generation we live in, because back then we ate, we got out of the house, and we run, play, do whatever. Yes. We worked it all off.
There you go.
Now they sit on the couch.
Hey, Jonathan.
Deadly today.
That's true, Jonathan. But I tell you what, nobody in our lineage is going to have stronger thumbs. Our kids are going to have some serious strong thumbs, and that's worth something.
You want to go into something that you're going to have a surefire living for the rest in the next few years? Go into being a thumb surgeon.
That's right. Kind of like the carpal tunnel syndrome. Lord, like that surgeons
right up
learn.
There with having a funeral home.
A thumb surgeon.
Well, since she answered my only one that I knew, because she didn't ask the Bible or a sports question, I'm just going to ask y'all one.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Dave. Jonathan.
Bible question, Old Testament. Me and Todd.
Okay.
1 Samuel. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 23, I believe it is. It mentions it in that chapter. But David had 37 mighty men.
You want us to name them?
No. What I want Shadrach, you to do
Meshach,
is name the mighty man, one of David's mighty men, that he had put to death.
Repeat the question, please.
In 1 Samuel chapter 23, David, it mentions the mighty men of David. David had one of his mighty men put to death. There was 37 of them. Which one of them 37 did David have put to death?
Hey, while we're thinking about the answer to that, that's worth going to reread. Because he talks about the mighty men, and then he names three of the mighty men, and then he names the one who was in the three that became his bodyguard. One of those guys are out going along, and he sees a lion in a pit, and he goes down and Killed a lion on a snowy day. Another.
And that's not too smart, though.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
It's the last verse in that chapter.
I'm stumped, but I'm fascinated by those men because David put a bunch of ragtag and people that were sideways with the law and behind in their bills, and he put this together. And now, I mean, he had guys that stood in the field and took a stick and killed about 1,000 people.
In a pea patch,
In a pea patch. Yeah, bad to the bone.
Philistines ain't taking my pea patch no more.
That's it. But I don't know the answer to your question.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm familiar with those mighty men.
You got us on that. Who was it?
Uriah.
I was going to say that, but I thought that's so obvious. It's not the answer. Uriah.
The last verse, it mentions his name, that he was one of the 37 in the last verse of that chapter.
So you mean you're talking about Bathsheba's husband, Uriah?
Yes.
Okay. All right, wow.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know he was one of his mighty men. Yeah, that makes it even more heinous.
Hey, thanks.
I didn't know until I read that, and it said Uriah, one of the 37 mighty men.
Now I wonder if it was the same Uriah, because you had a lot of people with the same name. I wonder if that was the same one.
Just focusing on the name, it mentions where he went to war, and David brought him home because of Bathsheba.
Oh, wow.
Next scripture after that it mentions in the Bible was going to that 1 Samuel.
Okay.
Right. Hey, thanks, Jonathan. Good stuff.
Wow, that is good stuff. I have to look that up. That's very interesting.
You know, I'm standing corrected. I'm sitting here thinking about the story. They talk about the mighty men. And then they take a little sidebar and say, and there were actually three who weren't part of the mighty men, but here's how gallant they were.
Yeah.
And starts talking about what they were able to accomplish. So, yeah, he had some true warriors in those battles.
Amen. All right, shall we continue?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we go back to the phones. We go to Michigan, and Steve is on the line. Steve, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hello.
Hey, Steve, how you doing, brother?
Alive and kicking.
Are you in Muskegon? Where do you live?
No, I live in Jackson County, Michigan.
Okay. Got some great listeners in that from that station that we have there.
Tell us something interesting about your county, Steve, or your town.
My county is the birthplace of the Republican Party, and it has the largest prison in the world.
Okay, that's two interesting things.
That's interesting.
Largest prison in the world?
Yep.
Is it maximum security prison?
Well, it has different sections of it, but yeah, it's the largest walled. The maximum security is the largest walled prison in the world.
You got any family in there?
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right. Well, Steve, you want to ask, answer, or both, my friend?
I want to do both.
Which one do you want to answer?
Well, mine's been taken. I'm going to take a shot at the gardening one.
Here's the question, Steve. Jubilee, Moon and Stars, and Crimson Sweet are varieties of what popular produce?
I must say tomatoes.
No, sir, but that's a good guess.
Not tomatoes?
Not tomatoes.
Tomatoes are red and green, right? Red and green?
No, there's all kinds of. Yeah.
That was my son's choice. I had another choice, but anyway.
I know. Hey, listen, throw your son under the bus. I'd do it in a second on national radio.
I just did.
All right. What's your question for us?
In the genealogy of Jesus Christ, which four out of the five women referenced, what four are named?
One is the prostitute who
Rahab.
Rahab. That's one.
That's one.
Yep.
Bathsheba.
Bathsheba is two. Ruth. That's three.
And let's see. Who else? What about, is Eve named? We're talking amongst ourselves here, Steve. Is Eve named?
I don't know.
In the genealogy? I don't know. Those three, I'm trying to – I know we're going to kick ourselves, but
– Well, let's – Steve, we got three of the four. I feel pretty confident about those three. They're three of the four, right?
No, Bathsheba's referenced as Solomon's mother, wife of Uriah, but she's not named. Rahab, you got right. Then there's Tamar, Ruth, and Mary.
Okay. So Bathsheba's not actually named in the genealogy?
Nope, she's referenced, but she's not named.
Okay.
A lot of,
interesting.
Some people say that's because of the circumstances.
Right.
But,
okay. Right. Hey, Steve, thank you for listening to AFR, and you have a great weekend.
All right. It was a great, great question. You know, you squeeze one more in,
yeah.
Tim? All right. We go to Illinois, and Clark is on the line. Trivia Friday. Clark is the program. Welcome to it.
How you doing?
Hey, I just want to – I just got to say this one time. You serious, Clark?
Yeah.
All right, enough of that. Yeah, you want to ask, answer, or do both, okay. Clark?
Do both.
Okay, which question do you want to answer?
Take the after the Mandarin question.
All right.
That's real nice, Clark. Real nice.
Real nice.
Question is this. After Mandarin, which is a language spoken in China, what are the world's three most commonly spoken languages, Clark?
Well, I think in their order, it would be Spanish, English, and Hindi.
Yes, that is
correct.
Nicely
done. Okay,
that makes sense.
Nicely done.
There's a billion people in India.
In India. It says Hindi, H-I-N-D-I, U-R-D-U. I don't know if that's the same thing or not. But anyway, that is correct. English, Spanish, and Hindi are the language most popular in India, which is the second most populous populated country in the world.
That's a great question,
behind
by the
China.
Way. That's good. I wasn't thinking about it.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
And for those of you graduates, 2018 seniors, learn one of those languages to be an interpreter,
yes.
Job security, or be a thumb surgeon.
Now,
we're trying to help you with your career.
Now, those are the most popular languages in the world. Probably the most universal language in the world would be English, I would guess, because I know that's what air traffic controllers use.
All use English?
English, okay. Yes. English around the world.
Hey, Clark, right. What's your question for us?
Okay, well, it's actually a two-part question. And if you can answer the second part, you'll actually win a T-shirt of mine.
Wow. That'd be worth getting. Fruit of Loom?
Superman T-shirt.
Oh, Superman.
All right.
Right. So the first of all, I want you to know I come from Galena, Illinois. So I'm going to give the question is based on a little bit of trivia from Galena, Illinois. Now, we all know that Ulysses S. Grant came from Galena, Illinois.
Yes, we do.
At least some people do. But here's the first half of the question. How many generals from the Civil War came from Galena, Illinois? That's number one. And here's the bonus. If you can get this part, you can win one of these T-shirts. The second part is, what was the commodity that Galena had that was used in the Civil War during those times?
I say two generals, but I have no idea on the commodity. We better answer quickly.
Yeah, because we're, I have no idea.
You better tell us.
We're against the clock here, Clark. I think you stumped us.
Okay. So it's really simple. There were nine generals.
Wow. Good grief.
Came from Galena, Illinois. Yeah, it blows my mind. It's got to be nepotism up the wazoo. They have this huge picture of it, and it boggles my mind that they have it in Galena. But then the other thing is that they had a lead mine, and it was completely stripped of all its lead.
Hey, Clark,
that's great.
We're down to 10
Thanks,
seconds,
buddy.
Brother. Thank you so much for that trivia. Thanks for listening. Sorry we had to kind of cut you short. Folks, back in five.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.